morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, you know, I may be getting ahead of myself, but somebody was talking about elephant ears at the fair. So.
Oh, gotcha. No, I don't think you're getting ahead of yourself. I was hearing a couple ads and some dates and was kind of thinking of a couple things myself there. And that those elephant ears are hard to beat, for sure.
And then school is right around the corner.
That for sure is coming up. We've had a number of people that work in our firm have already moved their kids up or sent them off already for some of the early starts and some of the sports teams. And It'll only be a couple weeks, and I'll be doing the same thing at our household. So, yeah, it went very, very fast. So we, though, much like that going fast, the summer real estate market has kind of gone by in a blur, and it's crazy to think that we're coming into that fall selling season and starting to think about that. Before we jump into this week's topic, we always like to do our crazy celebrity story. This one coming out of mansionglobal.com. Mm-hmm. This is Cher's former Miami Beach house. So she owned this house back in the 90s. She actually paid $1.5 million for the property in 1993.
Okay.
And it's in this enclave neighborhood that like has its own bridge to this island. So it's like very secluded, like a bunch of movie stars and stuff.
Yeah.
Live out there. But get this. So she paid $1.5 million for it in 1993. Then a financier out of Canada, James Eaton and his wife, paid $17 million for it in 2020. But then get this. It just hit the market. Granted, they did a massive remodel for $42.5 million.
Wow. 93,
$1.5 million to $42.5 million. So the appreciation rate there is absolutely stunning. Now, like I said, the Eatons did spend a ton of money on the property, basically completely gutted the property. And so the pictures of the interior are absolutely gorgeous, and it does have a lot of waterfront with it. But I'm going to be interested to see that span if they get the $42.5 million. Because when you look at it, I mean, it took from 93 to 2020, you know, 27 years to go from 1.5 to 17. But then in a span of 3 years, we're going to go from 17 to 42.5. I don't know. It's a lot, McKay. It is just, it's more than I have to worry about. I'll tell you that much. But very, 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 very interesting real estate story there. The other real estate story, I mean, it got me thinking as I was watching, you know, the news the last couple of days this last week is, hearts and, you know, thoughts and prayers going out to the people in Lahaina in Maui, because I don't know if you've ever been to that town, but I've been to Lahaina probably 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
And it is, you know, it's just a really cool, beautiful area and historic town. And they have like the old banyan tree there. And I mean, if you go to Maui ever, you pretty much go to this town or go down by this bar district. And so it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens with the redevelopment in a site like that in such a massive amount. So a lot of insurance going on there. There's going to be a lot of rebuilding there. And so, yeah, we'll keep an eye on C. But, yeah, definitely thoughts and prayers out to the people in Lahaina that are having to rebuild and go through that. And that talk about changing the landscape of an entire town in one night. And then, once again, we just go back to, you know, a month ago we did our show pre 4th of July on fire danger and what you can do. Just make sure you're up to date in all of those situations.
Yes.
So, John, we always like to, as I go through the week, and last week was no different, I always like to take notes on what people are noticing, what people are asking about, and then bring that as, you know, as our show topic. And this week was no exception. And I had three different occasions where people either inquired with me about an open house that was happening, mm-hmm. or mentioned open houses that they had seen more signs and more people having open houses out in the market, and then asking me about what those did in a business sense. And so I thought, you know, I'll have to go back and look, but I don't know if I've ever done a complete show on why open houses exist, what has kind of been the evolution of open houses, and the pros and cons of what that looks like. So I get this question a lot. We'll meet with the seller, or we'll talk with the seller, and we'll finish up our presentation and pricing and agree to do business together and work on contracts. And a seller will say, when will we have an open house?
it's kind of so ingrained into the fabric.
Yeah. And so, John, you bring up a great point. Like, that's exactly why we're having this as the topic this week is for, you know, decades, it's been ingrained in the fabric. And the answer to that question sometimes is you might not need one. You might not have one. You don't, and you surely are not obligated to have one. Mm-hmm. But you're right, John, it's kind of been ingrained in that industry. Now, over the last 15 years, that has changed dramatically. And in some cases, the value of that open house has diminished with technology increases in online photos, editing, and then especially in the Matterport three-dimensional tours.
Where you can take a 3D tour like you're a drone floating through the house.
And you just walk through and you control the speed of that, and you can stop and look at things, and it has measurements on it. And so then that has diminished the value a little bit of the open house, but that is, you know, that also is a subjective term in that situation. So you would then say, but why would we still do them? And we do them at our firm as well. Mm-hmm. We don't obligate people to do them, but we do them in our firm as well. And we're going to talk about why that is with some of these. So I kind of went through the advantages that we're looking at in why you might consider doing one. And there's going to be plenty of cons to it as well, so hang on for those. But, you know, the very first thing is just increased awareness of the home. I mean, as real estate agents and brokerages, we're hired to market homes and get the word out about a home. So this is another aspect and another medium for us to be able to advertise the actual home. So we might have it online, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We might have it, on different websites, but there are also different avenues that advertise specifically open houses. So if we're able to host one and have one, then we're putting it in that avenue. Also, it gets the house in front of a different demographic of buyer. Mm-hmm. So what I mean like this, McKay, is some people are just not going to look online. There are some folks out here that are just not going to look online. But if they have the money to buy that house, mm-hmm. I could care less about my opinions about them ever going online. If they want to buy the house and they find it through a different medium, then great. Of course, we would happily sell it to them. So some people are just not going to look in certain areas, but they might stop and look at an open house. They might never leave a 5-mile radius of their current house or apartment, and they might only consider living in that same radius. And so an open house or a sign might attract their attention when another medium might not. The next thing that I see happen a lot at open houses is it provides a low pressure sales environment for someone that does not enjoy being in a high pressure sales environment. And sometimes people think, well, gosh, Lance, if you're just with your individual agent and you're looking, is there really pressure there? But I see buyers have a little bit of pressure in those situations. And one of the things I mean by that is you can book time for a showing, but you're making a major financial decision here, spending, you know, $400,000, half a million, $600,000, $700,000. A lot of times people want more than an hour to examine and decide if they're going to spend that much money. And so, but I will tell you, customarily, if you're in a house more than an hour, sometimes that starts to create an issue for a seller. Meaning, a great example I had last week was we had a seller that works remotely from home. Mm-hmm. And so they had a showing request come in. And so the buyer went in. Buyer was loving the house, but the seller in that situation, they just took their 30-minute break.
Oh.
Right? And so they ran down to grab a bite to eat. Well, they came back, and buyer's still in the house for the showing. But this Mr. Seller's like, I got to get back on my computer or I'm going to get trouble at work. Like if I don't log back in on my desktop setup, like I'm going to get trouble at work. But there's pressure there, right? So then the buyer feels rushed. They got to get out of the house. The seller's kind of freaking out. So that's just one example of like people that work remotely at their house to like set up these different showings. Mm-hmm. There can be some pressure there in that situation. I've also had sellers come back when a buyer is spending, you know, 20, 30 minutes and like wait out in their car at the curb for the buyer to leave the showing. Well, that creates like some anxiety and pressure for buyers. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try not to do. So if an open house is open for 2 or 3 hours, a buyer can go in there during that time frame, take their time looking at the different bedrooms, you know, measure some stuff for their furniture, you know, get a feel for what that looks like, ask the agent questions as they come up. And so it can give a low pressure sales environment that for the right personality styles will sometimes convince somebody to go ahead and buy. The other thing that we wrote down in that situation that happens a lot is the open house does give a home seller a very specific time and window for cleaning and staging.
Yeah.
Meaning if you're just doing private showings, sometimes you never know when that showing's going to come. Sometimes somebody decides in an hour that they have an opening and they want to see a house. You know, they'll call up and a seller can deny those private showings, but sometimes a seller will approve those, but then they rush to get the house ready. It's not in the perfect condition that they wanted it to be in. And so the house doesn't show as well as you would like in that situation. Having an open house where you know it's going to be open from 2 to 4 or 1 to 3, you have 2 days to be prepping that house, making sure everything's put away, making sure it's staged and looks really, really nice. So this gives you a chance to put the best look forward for the home. So those are like the advantages to having the open house. When we come back from the break, we've got plenty of disadvantages that weigh in this situation. So we're going to talk about how open houses can end up in the news for the wrong reasons. When we come back from the break, cons of the open house.
Right here on News Talk 87. In the middle of our house,
in the middle of our street, our house, in the middle of our... Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking all about open houses, and I've got some that are in our pick three that are some great, great opportunities for people to, even if they are not open, to give us a call and we would love to show them to you.
Yeah.
I will point out, McKay, that pick, one of the pick threes that I went over last week, you and I, that Canyon Lakes house that was in the low 300s that you and I were like drooling over.
Yeah.
Did get multiple offers and sell that said that same day. So good. We were right. We got that one right.
Mm-hmm.
But there never fear, there is more inventory coming, and here's some great houses. Pick number one, 3505 West 42nd Avenue. I'm gonna take you back up to Canyon Lakes because we had so much success with it last weekend. 2825 square feet, beautifully updated four bedroom, three bath home. It has tile and hardwood floors in the main level living and dining areas. You'll love the den office space just off the entryway, perfect for that remote work environment. Formal dining room. You've got a large, inviting living room with a dual-sided fireplace. Private main level primary suite has its own ensuite with a jetted tub and a walk-in shower. The heart of the home is the beautifully done kitchen that has granite countertops, an island, an additional built-in oven, pantry, and a sunny dining nook. So the kitchen flows right out to the family room. Upstairs, there's three more secondary bedrooms plus a full bathroom, private backyard. And that's coming in at $619,000. So great Canyon Lakes property. Pick number two, I'm going to take you out to Benton City in the Red Mountain area, 39707 East Ridgecrest Drive. This is a four-bedroom, two-bath home situated on a one-and-a-half-acre lot, 2386 square feet, full-length sunroom, gives tons of natural light and takes advantage of the surrounding views. So the super energy-efficient house, the heart of the house has a big living room, flows right into the kitchen, large flex family room as well. Primary bedroom is a nice retreat, spacious walk-in closet, ensuite bath. Then you have a spiral staircase that leads up to a loft-style office, which is super cool. And then the property opens up. If you're a livestock enthusiast, there's plenty of room for sustainable living out here. Expansive acreage has gardens, mini farm, really endless possibilities here. Two-car garage, plenty of space for RV parking, and this is coming in at $459,000. So great, great property out there. And then pick number three, here is an investment special. This is 49706 South Peart Road in Kennewick. This is 5-acre parcel, flat land, close to the river. Partially fenced landscape, has both privacy and a sense of security. There is a three-bedroom, two-bath manufactured home on the property, 1848 square feet. Spacious floor plan here as well. There's a detached shop, ample space for pursuing hobbies, storing equipment, whatever you need to do with that space. There's a separate shed on the property as well, gardening shed and storage space for outdoor equipment. So 5-acre parcel, flat piece of land, could be developed. You could put a different trailer on there, fix up the existing, etc. And that's coming in at $383,000. So there's some good opportunities out there for these properties. Okay, folks, we have been talking about open houses. We went over, people ask us all the time, why would you do one? Why would you not do one? It's a very personal preference in these situations. And we always just kind of lay out the pros and cons for people, and then they can kind of make a decision themselves. So we talked a little bit about why, but then there's why would you skip maybe an open house? So the very first situation that we come across in that is from a sales perspective, the open house has a very, very low closure rate. Industry-wide, it's less than, I could read five different publications, but they all get to less than 5%. Usually it's between only a 1-3% chance that the home is going to sell that way. So when you look at properly presenting a home in the multiple listing service, exposing it to the other agents in the market, in that situation, you're going to have a, 50% chance, then you're going to have an additional 10% chance from online advertising. And so when you add all of those up, the different sources that come, open house is a very, very low margin chance that it's going to sell that house that weekend. So the next question that people come up and ask me is, Well, then why would we do it? And sometimes the answer is, I don't know. Like, I don't, I agree with you. But there, like we said, the first half of the show, we had some reasons about exposure in that mm-hmm. situation and getting, you know, exposure to a different type of buyer. But
yeah.
there is an argument from a purely sales perspective of, is it necessary with the technology that we have in this day and age? And there's an argument that for the actual sale of that house, it might not be. However, for your agent or the agent doing it and the chance of that situation, mm-hmm. there is a high likelihood that you as an agent hosting an open house like that will potentially pick up a buyer that is unrepresented by another agent, meaning you will make a contact and meet with somebody that is unrepresented. They don't have an agent. They come through. They don't like something about that house, but then they ask you, would you show us some other houses that do meet our criteria? And so from an agent sales perspective, they might not, the likelihood of selling that exact house might be very low, but there's a lot higher likelihood that they will pick up a client that will go into their portfolio. You know, and we've always been, you know, we've always been of the mindset that the more business an agent is doing, the better chance they have of selling your house because they're going to be in the market working with people, more opportunities. So a lot of times then people say, well, I don't want to have an open house just so an agent can collect, you know, new buyers. Well, there's a valid point there, and that's a personal decision you have to look at making. The next PSA that I am going to put out there, and I get a little worked up about this one, McKay. The next PSA that I'm going to put out there, and my take on this, involves security concerns, okay? And so I'm going to say right now, for those listening to the show or those people that are go to open houses and do that, if you are unwilling to give your name and contact info when you go to an open house for a realtor that's at the front door, if you're unwilling to sign that contact sheet and give your info, don't come. Okay. Yeah. Like, don't want to deal with it in that situation. And so a lot of times people are like, well, I don't want you guys to spam my number and go on. Well, okay. Tell the agent that when you sign in. And then there's rules that they can or can't do that. And so tell the agent that. But it is a security issue for both the agent and the homeowner to not know who's coming in their house.
Yeah.
Like if you just put a sign out and then people are stopping in on the street. And if they're unwilling at a minimum to even give their name and phone number, we don't need you in the house. Like, I don't need a sale that bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and sometimes people have argued with me about this at the door before. I mean, if you can believe this, is these are real scenarios that I give. Wow. I don't just make this stuff up. And I've told the person at the door, I said, great. Well, okay. How about this? At the end of the open house, I'm going to close up here. I'm going to run down to Circle K. And I'm going to find seven people I don't know off the street. We're going to swing by your house and just run around in there for a little bit. and I'm not going to tell you any of their names. Okay. Oh. Usually then that's a perspective where they're like, well, I don't, that does, you know, stop being a jerk. Well, I'm not, you know, you started it. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but, so we just ask, and it really is a safety thing. It's not as much of a sales thing. There are sales aspects to it. Yeah. I mean, I'm in sales. I'm not, you know, denying that it is helpful to have that information. But there is a security aspect to it, too, so that we can say to the seller, here are the people that were inside of your home if there's ever an issue. And why I say it's a security issue is because we tell all of our sellers when we're having an open house, any like small valuables, jewelry, medications,
put things away,
have to be put away and locked before an open house. Because if you get two or three parties that come at the same time that are looking at that, it is very, very difficult to monitor all of those parties at the same time and see everything. And so that's why we tell sellers, don't leave valuables out in that situation. And so the public as well, be willing to, if open houses are something you're going to, and you might just be looking for fun, which is fantastic because sometimes that's how ideas get planted and you see things that lead to sales. You might just be looking for fun in that situation. That's great. We'd love to have you. We just, from a security aspect, need to be able to tell the seller and our firms, who has been in the house. And so if you're unwilling to give that information, I would say don't bother going to those open houses in those situations. I don't think it's fair to the agent or the homeowners that are hosting those and allowing that to happen in the situation. The other thing that can happen is that you can do these in these situations and you can get only inexperienced or unqualified buyers, meaning that when we're doing private showings in general, a realtor that is going to talk to a buyer before a showing is going to ask them a certain amount of qualifying questions. Have you been pre-approved with a lender? Have you ran your credit? Do you know with what rates have done in the last 4 months if you still qualify for a home? And so a good agent will ask those questions so that they're not showing a buyer homes that they can't afford. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a bad situation for both the buyer and the agent. Yes, I found you the perfect home. It's beautiful. Get your hopes up. Get your emotions up. No, you can't afford it. What were we doing?
Yeah.
And so in those situations, in general, most of our good agents have qualified people in that situation. So when you do have a private showing, you know that it's worth your time because it's a buyer that can pull the trigger. In an open house situation, you might get four people that come through and none of them are buying. So
maybe they're just looky-loos, as they say, yes, in the car business.
Yes, or neighbors too, for that instance. A lot of times neighbors are like, oh, I've always wanted to get in Jim and Darlene's house, you know, and see, yeah, see what that back room was like, you know? And so now that can be good or bad. Okay, so the good part about that is that a neighbor that lives in the neighborhood, I would say 80% of the time, likes where they live. Mm-hmm. And so they might know other people that want to move to that neighborhood. And they might tell friends, we live in a great neighborhood and this house is for sale. And so not a bad plan to have the neighbors come through, see that house, and then talk to their friends and family about it that might want to move there. Now, I said 80% of the time, and that comes with caution.
Yes.
Okay, because the other 20% of the time, you get comments such as, you know, say the house is vacant, the owners have already moved. There's two groups of potential buyers in there, and then there's a neighbor in there. And the neighbor comes in and they're like, ah, so glad those people left. We swear they were drug dealers. And says something like that disqualifies the house to the other buyers that are at the open house.
Yeah.
Or they'll say like, you know, they'll be talking to the agent. Oh, we're just a neighbor. We love where we live. We love everything except the Smith's four high school boys who drive up and down the street at 80 miles an hour. Other than that, this is a great neighborhood. You know, So I mean, these are examples of like all the things I've heard in these situations. So like I said, 80-20, most of the time we're going to be helpful to have the neighbors there and talking. 20% of the time, though, you know, rushing them out of the room to back onto the street. So yeah,
gag order on the neighbor.
So those are kind of the unknowns on the con side of things for that situation. And a lot of times, you know, we talk to our sellers, we talk to our agents that are looking, and we try to make it a win-win situation for both parties. And so it's just, like I said, it's a personal decision. There are things you can do that make it safer. So we have a very specific way that we like to do those things. And so we're always going through and making it as safe as possible for the agents and the sellers. But if they don't want to do them, it is perfectly reasonable not to, and still can get the home sold without it, especially with the technology. It's better now than it was 10 years ago in that situation. If you have any questions about what those protocols look like, what that situation is, if you should or should not be doing things in that situation, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a message. We would be glad to help out in that situation. Other than that, McKay, we are going to be right back here. Now, I want you to ask me next week. I've seen this all over social media. Mm-hmm. I'm headed up tomorrow. I'm going to go hike Kolchak. I'm also think like I've got to take more advantage of these amazing things that we can do in Tri-Cities. Mm-hmm. So day trips, one of the great things about where we live is all the cool things around us.
Yeah.
So if I'm still alive after hiking Kolchak, I'm right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870. Our house in the